Hello and welcome to the Rose Pricks Podcast. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV, Watch What Crappens Podcast, and what's the Big Brother Smother Podcast. And I'm here with
track.
That's a lot of yapping. And I'm here with the gorgeous and talented Stephanie Wilder Taylor for Hello. Crying out loud.
Hello, I'm so excited for today's show.
I'm so excited. We missed a week. This is the weirdest show ever because we started doing this show and then have had all these weeks off.
I know.
That's bizarre. I'm not used to it.
I'm not either. And also, I keep forgetting what's going on. So, you know, the show comes on and my biggest surprise was that Alex the Angry Midget was still on.
Oh, my God. I noticed so many new things about him and then boom, bye. It's like, what the hell? I finally get to know these guys and they're gone. I feel like JoJo.
I hope nobody is going to listen to our podcast for just the pure recap, because there's going to be a lot of spoilers.
Yeah, we just like to really be rude about idiots on TV. So if you're here for something serious or you need to cry, this is not your place, okay?
Or if you truly just need to find out what happens, read a serious recap.
Yes, or watch the damn show. Yeah, like, why exactly. should the rest of us have to suffer through 2 hours of that horse shit? Watch it.
Literally horseshit.
This week it was literally horseshit. I have so much fun with this show. Last week I went to Texas to see my family for 10 days.
How was that?
It was actually super fun. I have a really great family. It was like home date, but for a single person. Like, I don't ever get to take anyone home to meet them.
Right. It looked fun on social media.
It was so fun. Yeah, I post social media stuff because there's like kids. So that's when you do it, you know?
Right.
And also Texas. It's like Texas is hilarious. It's a hilarious place. It like people with gun tattoos. I'm like, you might want to wear sleeves considering the week America has had. Like, seriously?
I know.
But like the Bachelor walking to the HEB, that's a grocery store. The Jesus, there's like a Jesus magazine. I think it's called like, you know, Saved or whatever. It's like, come back to life, whatever it is. And of course, Jesus looks like a model. He's so hot. So there's like Jesus magazine, and it's right next to the soap opera magazine, which is right next to JoJo crying because someone betrayed her. And I'm like, really, JoJo? JoJo making onto every magazine. She could be on the cover of National Geographic. They'll be like, elephants are dying. And JoJo is sad.
You know what I noticed about, this is just an overall note about the show. The reason, I mean, and don't get me wrong, it's hilarious. But the reason why JoJo doesn't come off like she has any personality, I figured this out, is because she doesn't talk about anything besides her relationships.
Yes.
So she's not an actual person. She's a empty husk that needs to be filled with a relationship. Because that's all she talks is, are you ready for a relationship? Because I'm ready for a relationship. At the end of this, I want to be engaged. I want to have a husband. I want to have a husband and a relationship. And I want to be able to trust in my relationship. Do you know anything about her? Can you name one of her interests?
She has very strong eyelids because she holds up some really humongous eyelashes. On those lids. Very strong eyelashes.
Maybe she does like eye exercises. Maybe that's one of her interests is eye fitness.
I don't know, but we all know that girl or that guy. I mean, geez, I know plenty of guys like this too, but that are their whole personality is based on their relationship. And then they break up with that person and they start dating a new person. And then it's like having a totally new friend. Like suddenly they're into like watching football games and all this crap that the new boyfriend is into, and it's like, God, flesh bot. Like, put in a new, it's like, did someone put a new SIM card in you? Jesus.
Well, exactly. But so all these guys, every single guy does the whole, I'm realizing I'm falling in love with you. No, I am in love with you. I've fallen in love with you. What are they falling in love with? Because unless they edit it out, I've never heard her say one thing she likes to do. I don't know anything. Does she have a job? If she has a, I'm not even kidding. If she has a job, I don't know what it is.
If she has a job, that bitch has been fired because she's been on The Bachelor for a year.
But did she go to school? Did she study anything? Does she have anything in her life?
No.
Do you know what I'm saying? This is a girl who's clearly in her 20s, ready to get married. What is her fucking job? What
she's
is like, her? Who is
that
she?
That girl is just like a bread machine waiting to be filled with yeast so that she can make bread for people. It's like all she cares about, you know? It's like if that thing ain't making bread, she's just not happy. It's like she's just an empty little metal shell sitting on someone's counter collecting dust. Like,
but I
girl,
don't know
get
what they're
hobby.
Falling in love with.
They don't either. That's the thing about this show that's killing me. It's like no one even knows each other. They know nothing about each other. And then they keep trying to convince themselves and each other that they're falling in love. And I know it's like it's TV and it's probably mostly faked, but you see it so much in real life, too, that it's very easy to parallel it with stories that you know of people, you know, that are just like, but I love you. I love you. Oh, you said he loved me. Like, who cares? Like, you said that to 30 people within 5 minutes. How does this mean anything?
Yeah, and I mean, you could say, well, I guess she wants to be an actress or she wants to be famous, but that's also not a thing. Like, well, no. Are you an actress? Have you been in a play? Were you in plays when you were little? Do you want to be a hairstylist? Do you want to be a dental? If something, you'd think they would tell. Or honestly, how about friendships? You know how normal people when you're in a conversation, you say like, oh, I was talking to my friend the other day, or my best friend. Everybody has a story, but they never talk about friends they have in real life. Anything that they do in real life, like have you run a marathon? Is there anything about you that you're bringing to the table for conversation besides, I really like to talk about relationships and the relationship that we're having or are going to have or had at the beginning when I first met you 2 weeks ago that's kind of fallen behind. I mean, our relationship is kind of where the connection, all they talk about is whether or not they're having a connection.
Yeah, when I was a waiter, I used to wait on couples that were just beautiful people and well, not always, but let's just say just because this is about TV, beautiful right. people, and they would be sitting there at this romantic dinner. And, you know, I will listen to a conversation. I have no problem with eavesdropping and stuff.
Right.
And their conversations were like, wow, isn't this bread delicious? Yes, I love this bread. Do you remember one time when we had the bread at that place? Oh, I just love that kind of bread. What do you think about, you know, raisin bread? And I just sit there thinking, is this your life? You know, like, oh, these forks are thick.
Yeah
they're thick. You know, some cheap restaurants have thin forks, but these are very thick. You can feel them in your hand. They're heavy. Right, honey? Oh, I love a thick fork.
Like, these are the God. Same people that if they were to actually get married and stay together, that 40 years from now, they'll be the angry couple in the restaurant that doesn't speak at all. And clearly hate each other and have hated each other for 45 out of the 50 years of their relationship.
Yes, but these people are so stupid that they won't sit there and read books. Because you know how, like, older couples who hate each other, they'll bring a book and one of them's doing a crossword puzzle.
Yes.
And they're really nice to the waiter, but then they just go back to their books the second you leave the table. That's like these people, but without books. They'll just be looking around the restaurant like, I wonder how heavy her fork is.
Okay, boy. So
that's a macro note. Go. So going into this, I just have to mention that just because this goes so well with what you're saying, for some reason in the background shots when they're doing their interviews, in almost every single one, someone had an empty vase behind them. Okay, I'll just say that because every time I was like, this is such a sign of this show. It's like just a big, pretty, empty, non-filled vase waiting to be filled with your love.
Oh, it's a perfect analogy.
I love looking for signs in a show.
Or metaphor.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
Okay, so JoJo opens this. She's still in Argentina. She's coming out of the Plaza Hotel in Argentina, and she tells us, there's a few relationships I can see myself falling in love with. You know, I can see myself falling in love with some of these relationships. I'm like, first of all, you're stupid. That's not a real sentence. And second of all, there's literally only a few people here, which means like you can see yourself falling in love with any of these people, which makes none of this special. Thanks a lot. Click.
Right. But she has an epiphany where she's like, you know what? I realized I just need to spend some more time with these guys. You think? I mean, normal people only need a week to figure out who they're going to spend the rest of their life with. But you, JoJo, need 2 weeks.
Yeah, they need to sit down next to each other at a computer, and that's their next date. Like, the next one-on-one date should be sit down in front of a computer and take those what-you'll-be-good-at tests that kids have to take in high school.
Yes.
You know, you'd be a good plumber.
A parachute. You know? Yes.
You'd be a good accountant. Then they could be like,
career aptitude.
Well, yeah. Plumbers, you know, like pipes. Well, I like numbers. Wow. We have nothing in common. Next.
Exactly.
Luke. First, oh,
also,
go ahead.
What is she wearing in this scene? Did you notice that? It looks like she's wearing tights and a leotard with a jacket over it. The costume, the wardrobe people went nuts.
I think they're running out of stuff because in her little testimonial thing, she's wearing like a Jackie O jacket with like horse hair sticking out of it or something. Like, what are you doing? What are you, first lady? Get out of here with your first lady jacket, stupid.
So meanwhile, back at the sausage factory, Alex is feeling confused and disappointed. Also disappointed and confused. He says it like four times. It's like, I'm just confused. You know, I mean, it was, you know, at the rose ceremony, I mean, it was just me and, you know, James Taylor. And, you know, it was like, what's up with that? I mean, that's, I'm just really disappointed that like I was, and that confuses me when I'm disappointed.
I'm not used to feeling disappointed. So when I feel disappointed, I feel confused. And then I'm like, why am I confused? That's disappointing. he's saying, I feel like I'm on top of the world because like when I'm with her, like I'm on top of the world. And then like I walk away and then I feel like I'm going to go home like last week. And it's like, it's all been an illusion, which is confusing. I hate magic. Like, don't, like, what's she going to pull a bunny out of a hat? Like, no, don't do it. He's so angry. He's like an abusive little midget.
Oh, he's the worst.
He needs to date a short person because he's not going to be able to punch a tall one in the face without a stepladder.
Right. he's always been worse than Chad because at least Chad was upfront about it. Chad's like, yeah, I'm an asshole. Yeah, I could kill you.
You know Alex Chad's personality. You know his personality. You know on the 50th birthday, he's probably going to be 400 pounds. You're going to have a gigantic extra large toilet to poop all the protein out. And all you have to get him every year is like a new 24-hour fitness membership and, I don't know, maybe some cold cuts. Like, that's a man I could marry.
Yeah.
I get him.
He's going to be like, what's eating Gilbert Grape? Just in a house.
But he is. The answer is he is.
You're right.
So full of protein, he's just eating himself.
So then enter Chris Harrison, who, this was my favorite Chris Harrison entrance ever. It was like he was in a Dockers commercial. He just walks in. He's like, sup, fellas?
He's like, hey, guys, just unloaded huge nut in the bathroom. Put on my Dockers sweater. And here I am.
Just regular guys. Hey, who wants a Bud Light? Let's do this. What's going on, fellas?
Luke. Hey, fellas. Luke is so stupid. I'm loving Leaning Luke. Because all Leaning Luke does is recap everything going on in the show, but in his really stupid, nonsensical way. He'll be like, well, here's what's going on in the show. Like, you know, like, she feels like she might love all of us, but then she doesn't understand, so she's with Alex. And then Alex is like, well, I'm confused. And then
it's like he just keeps talking and talking, and everyone's like, please shut up. Can we get a TV in this room? Somebody.
Chris just came in right now. Did you see Chris? He had a letter.
Oh. Luke's got the best thing going, though, because he always seems like he just took a couple of Ativans. And he's just like, it's all good. I mean, JoJo might pick me or one of the other guys. But, like, if she likes wooden teeth, she'll go with me. And if not, it's all good. I'm here for the experience.
Healthy gums are overrated.
Oh, so then Alex reiterates that he was confused. Like, he didn't do it enough to the other guys and the cameras. Then he lets Chris know. I was just really disappointed about JoJo. You know, she's just really confusing me.
I'm the only one who hasn't gotten, like, I don't get to spend time with her. Where's my 101 date? It's so confusing. Like, what an illusion of confusing. Like, totally, this better not be an illusion, this one-on-one date, because he gets a one. So they've changed it up. Orange Robbie now has a speed bump on his head. I don't even know what the fuck his balding bangs are doing. But
because there is no haircutting going on during this. So if they're on for 6 weeks, their hair has just been growing the whole time. They're not trimming that.
The dude has been in a beauty salon every day. I mean, last week we saw him get a pedicure, a facial. He's had half of his body exfoliated. He doesn't even have skin on his face. He looks like one of those guys in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom that gets their face burned off. I'm like, what is this, a skull? Oh, my God.
So true.
It's like a skull with a speed bump haircut. Who does that? It's weird. So he gets – I'm sorry. I keep talking about their hair, but I'm noticing such weird things, like his speed bump hair, his missing skin – And then Luke's dead eyes, which is nothing new, but they're just these big black dead eyes. The other thing I notice is that Midget Alex never blinks. And that's a frightening quality in a person. Like, he never blinks. I watched the whole time, and I said, write down the number of blinks. He never blinks.
He's really rapey to me. From a woman's perspective, this is like, he's like every frat guy who thinks he's getting mixed signals from a woman who's not into him at all.
Yes.
You know, he has that like, I don't get it. I mean, she was totally into me. You know, yeah, she was saying, no, get off me, screaming, I'm going to call the police. But like, what does that mean? I mean, you know, she was out with me.
Thought
you know,
it was role playing.
She let me pay for her meal. So like, well, I don't get it.
I thought her no was just an illusion.
He scares me.
You know how Maya Angelou said, when you meet people, they tell you who they are right away. Believe them.
Yes.
And look at me quoting Maya Angelou.
Invoking Maya Angelou.
It's not because I'm literary, but I watched Oprah, y'all. I had a TV.
So did I.
When you look at Alex, believe him. Believe what he's telling you. Look at his arm. He's got like one of those skulls. He's trying to look all tough. He's like this, like trying to look tough midget. He works out too much. He's going to have a bad back. And then he has this like big skull on his lower arm, like this big gaping. It looks like his skull's going. Listen to him. He's an evil, horrible person. Who puts that on their arm?
He's the worst.
So there's going to be, okay, the dates are so weird. And I do love that Chris is probably just masturbating before every scene. He's so bored, this poor guy. So I'm trying to see what he said. Oh, so there's four dates this time. 3 one-on-ones and one group,
and a group
date.
And no roses are up for grabs. He makes a big deal, which I love because it doesn't end up coming. It ends up not being true. But there's no roses up for grabs on the 101. So guys, you could just relax.
Yes.
But there is a rose up for grabs on the group date.
Yes. And he's like, if you guys, this week is huge. It's like the biggest week in Bachelorette history because if you get a rose, you get to introduce JoJo to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, your family. Your family. Your families, guys. That's what we care about.
Oh, this comes into play so great later on in the episode.
So good. So he's like, Midget. We need
this
to
whole,
move
the
on,
whole but show should just be called Not Aaron Rodgers or the other Rodgers.
Finding Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so then this is great. Alex starts bitching and crying about like, I just haven't had a one-on-one. Like everybody's gotten a one-on-one and like, I better get this one-on-one.
Everyone else has a foundation to build on. Like, where's my foundation with JoJo? I want a foundation. Like, how good. She's wearing plenty of foundation. No one say foundation around JoJo. Her face will melt off if you guys go outside in the daytime.
If you say foundation, she's going to be like, what? What? Do I need more foundation? I need makeup. Can I get makeup over here? I don't have enough foundation.
Date at Sephora. So Orange Guy is wearing women's slippers, which just kills me. I love that this guy can find a way to get like some beauty treatment wherever they are. Let's see. So this is a chance for... So now Alex, he's like... substituting the love he's getting from JoJo with just a terrible attitude. He's doing one of those things like, yeah, well, I don't know JoJo very much, but guess what? JoJo doesn't have a foundation with me either. So maybe JoJo better start digging a foundation or this house is going to only have half a foundation. It's going to sink into the ocean. Like, what does she do for me lately, lady? And I'm like, not about you.
My 11-year-old daughter, Elby, made the same observation. When they're driving in the car, so we have to just catch them up. So JoJo, so Alex does get the one-on-one and they're going to drive to this wherever. They're going somewhere and they're going to be in the car together. So Alex is like, yeah, I mean, I better have gotten the one-on-one. And then, so she comes and picks him up and she goes, hey, you ready? And he goes, yeah, I've been waiting. And then he goes, it's been a long time coming. Like he's bitter on the date. Yeah. So then he does all of that. What you're saying about like, I mean, I just really better get a one-on-one. I mean, I really need to get a one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And then he gets the one-on-one. They're driving and his confessional is like, she's going to have to really show me something. I mean, I need to see what she's bringing to the table. Elby starts going, that's just so weird. Wasn't he really hoping that he was going to get to go out with her? And now he's acting like she better prove to him.
Yeah, and he's acting all pissed off in the car, like not blinking and staring at the fields all angrily. I mean, when you're date starts with a thumb war, that is not good. They literally played like 1, 2, 3, 4, I declare a thumb war. And she was like, oh, I'm so excited for my date with Alex. I was like, this is not going to end well.
Yep.
And then they have nothing to say to each other. She ain't going to talk about herself, which we've already discussed. He has nothing going on. I mean, the guy basically just like wakes up, lifts things, and does target practice or whatever, and then runs from tall people. Like, what is he going to talk about? And they're passing all this wheat, and he's like, what is this, the wheat bowl of the country? And they're like, that's so good. I mean, those two are eating Pringles.
Oh, it's so forced.
They're eating Pringles and like putting them together, and they can't even put the Pringles in the 69 position. And that's like how Pringles are packaged. They're like, why can't these Pringles fit together?
But then Hopeless. JoJo, right off the script, is like, it's really great having this one-on-one time with Alex. So I can, you know, really get to know him better and really experience the fact that we have no chemistry at all. I just, you know, it's great. I mean, we just get to be normal, you know, but I'm having a hard time connecting romantically. You think?
Yeah. She just keeps hitting the ceiling of the car, hoping one of those little DVD players will watch down and she can just turn on some Frozen. This trip sucks. So
but
they're
the
just
thing that's funny is she, how is anybody supposed to connect with her either though? She is bringing nothing. She has nothing to add conversationally. I mean, neither of them do. I hate them both. But she's not doing any. She's just expecting them to bring everything to her. Like,
pretty
what?
Much. These guys, if they can't fuck, they have nothing going for them. And right. It makes me sad because they're playing so fake and they're going to have to be in a relationship for 2 years before the real stuff comes out. Like, where you're like, oh, fuck it. Why am I putting a mask on every day? Screw you! And then you just get really fat and start torturing each other. That's when you get to know a person.
Yeah.
So the bus.
The guys are doing a rap.
Yeah, the guys get to go on a bus, and, you know, there's been a lot of racial stuff this week in America. There's been a lot of really important conversations happening in the news, and this is the whitest thing I've ever seen in my life, and that's really all I had to say. Yeah. I was, like, glad that we can maintain our whiteness in this difficult time.
But, Ronnie, I'm pretty sure that the guys in the rap song call Alex an itty-bitty Jew.
They do.
Do they not? I'm pretty sure they did. I was like, is this a Trump campaign bus? What's happening?
Did they? I was going to write down what they were saying, but it was so simple that I was like, no. But I was just writing dead eyes in the back of the bus.
Someone may correct me, but I played it back and I'm pretty sure they called him an itty-bitty Jew.
Oh,
unless
my God.
I'm just paranoid.
There was one thing about him needing a stew. Is that why it was the Jew? Because they said, that midget needs a stew. And I don't know if it was like rhyming with Jew or not, but I mean, wow.
Maybe.
And then they're trying to come up with something that rhymes with JoJo, like ho-ho, no-no. But, like, what is so hard? What did they end up picking? They're like, JoJo, now we go-go. I was like, you guys really, just be quiet. Just sit on the bus and be quiet. Do your homework.
That was the final product, too. You know, if you've ever watched like 11-year-olds do that kind of thing on a video, there's a lot of practice that's involved first. So that's
I was swallowing a coffee.
So now we go back to Alex and JoJo, totally bored. And Alex, but for no reason, has his hand in JoJo's lap.
The guy is like leaning on her. She can't breathe. He's like leaning all the way across her body. His hand is on her opposite leg. So I'm like, what are you going for safety ratings in a Suburban? Like, get your, what are you, the airbag? Get off of her. It's creepy. It's like one of those things
gross.
That come down over you in a roller coaster so you can't fall out. It's creepy.
Yes.
She's not yours.
Shoulder bar.
He's like, the reality is I'm a guy in a plaid shirt with a skeleton tattoo to make me seem more interesting.
Oh, so then they go to a gaucho ranch and suddenly we're in city slickers with Billy Crystal and Alex needs to find his smile.
With zero entertainment.
Yeah.
Okay, now enter the old man who plays about 20 roles in this. One thing I've noticed on this show is they will get a couple of extras and then just like in a community theater show, they'll just keep changing their outfit and be like, okay, now we're at a flower shop and it's like the same people in different hats.
I bet you that's true.
So now they've got this old guy. He's like, oh, look at me, old man, and horses, all the horses.
It's like, oh, I love horses. They are so great.
And then he goes, you have to be, oh, he says something like in Spanish, and then the other guy goes, or Portuguese, or whatever they're speaking, and the other guy goes, he says, you have to be born a gaucho. You can't just become one.
Well, can I wear one of your hats? Like, okay, you can wear the hat. You don't have to be born in hat. So they put this poor little midget. Oh, and stupid. I love that stupid JoJo pretends she knows everything about where they are. Like, she's some world traveler. She's like,
I love gauchos. I mean, look, I'm taking you to an estancia. That's a ranch. And it's so romantic. It's about romance and horses.
Like this, the least romantic thing in the world are horses. They shit everywhere. Like, you can't do anything without those things pooping or peeing about a gallon of stinkiness out of there. And then, look, they killed Superman. Okay? A horse killed Superman. Okay, have fun, you guys.
Well, we're about to see that horses can be very romantic.
Yikes.
In a couple of scenes.
They can be very horny. I like that they made the old man hunch down like he has some kind of back issue just to make Alex feel tall in a scene. They're like, he's like, okay, so you get the horse from over there and they go in this circle. Where is this beret? He's like, ha, short guy.
Oh my God. Alex in the gaucho attire was one of the worst, saddest things I've ever seen.
Why are you so short? I have a donkey taller than you.
He was a pirate in a beret. Oh, it God. Was, I mean, it was the worst. And then to add insult to injury, JoJo goes, oh, you're a cute little gaucho.
Oh, that was so sad. He looked like Fievel the Mouse from American Story.
Yes!
Like his mom left and he doesn't know why. And he has to, like, go find his parents somewhere out there. Well, my mom, she better be looking for me. Fuck her. I mean, where's my mom? I'm here alone. Like, maybe my parents should make an effort to find me. I wonder if they're singing to a goddamn moon. It's like a bitter little five.
They better be good parents too. Like, you know, I mean, if they want to be my parents, they better be like excellent parents, you know.
Well, the bachelorette.
I want to talk to some other people they parented, make sure that they're good, you know.
They better make an effort to be good parents. That's why I left my parents in the first place. I didn't get lost. Fuck them. They weren't proving it to me. They didn't prove enough that they wanted me.
Oh my God. So then they go to the other guys who are eating some Argentinian food.
Oh, Lord. Poor things. The dog wouldn't even take a bite of the food. There was like a little homeless dog, and they're like, would you like some of this cow penis? And he's like,
Well, by the way, a little sidebar. I used to work at the Gaucho Grill, which is an Argentinian restaurant. So oh my I've God. Served Argentinian food. I worked there for a long time, for me, like a year. And sweetbreads. Do you know what sweetbreads are?
Oh, yeah. Those are the intestines, no?
Yeah, or cow or pancreas. Intestines. Yeah, it's gross stuff. It's organ meat.
Yeah, depression food. And the guys were like, gross.
Yeah. And it was at this moment, watching the guys, that I started to realize I really missed Chad.
I do, too. These guys are so boring. You've got Luke sitting there with his gigantic blow-dried hair. He's like, well, they're on a date today, which means that here we are eating meat together. She could choose us. She could choose him. Who knows what she's going to do? Maybe she likes this meat. Maybe she doesn't. I don't know. I'm just happy to have the dream of holding hands with JoJo one day on a tree, leaning, looking at the
boring.
Sun. Shut up!
The worst.
So let's see. Old man gets JoJo on the horse. And I, poor thing, poor JoJo trying to get on that horse. That old man had his head all the way up into her womb. I was like, that is more ass than poor little midget Alex is ever going to get.
Yep. But now we got to get to probably the best scene I've ever watched on Bachelor or Bachelorette, which was the bestiality porn.
Yes, the bestiality cuddle porn. I mean, on this show, cuddle porn is basically porn.
And yeah, they
with a horse.
This old man does this weird thing where he like puts the arm around the horse's neck, and then it looks like he's wrestling with it, but then the horse submits and then lays on the ground on his back, and the midget's like, yeah, so that's what I got accused of in the army, but it's like slow motion. Like, oh, okay, so I get dishonorable discharge. That's fair.
Oh my god.
So they get the horse on the ground, and horse is so cute.
Then he's cuddling with it and like rubbing its belly and holding its legs up and like getting on it from getting it from behind.
Yeah, that was some creepy, creepy shit. I'm trying to look. Pesters her with terrible compliments. Guy wrestles with horse. JoJo.
He's holding the horse's legs though, like up, and he's behind it. It really does look like some kind of like he's having intercourse with the horse.
I'm like American Story or An American Tale Part 3. Fievel fucks a horse.
It's so disturbing. And then they show the Alex, and they have Alex and JoJo spoon the horse. I was like, what's happening?
And they're sitting there.
What is happening?
They're sitting there with a horse between them. There's like no energy between them, but so much with the horse. And she's like,
wow, now we're connected. Look how connected we are. Oh, horsey.
And they're like rubbing this horse.
And then it has like this weird kind of like sepia tone. It was like two girls in a tampon commercial all of a sudden. Like the soft focus and the field behind them. I was like, this is really weird.
It's like a relationship.
And then Alex says, I'm in a sense of enlightenment. Like right now, right here, I feel like the way I think love is supposed to feel. That was an actual quote.
I'm in a sense of enlightenment.
Yep. Did you have that written down?
No blink, no blink.
Yep.
No, I wrote down that he says, you know what? Right now, I'm admitting to myself. I'm admitting it. I'm falling in love with her. I'm like, dude, you said that since the first day. It's like the confession that nobody needs, okay? This isn't the end of Law and Order where someone's wondering what you're going to admit.
Dum dum.
Of course, everybody's getting desperate. They just want to win. They're like, okay, how am I going to say I'm in love with you differently than all the other guys say it? Okay, here it goes. It's hard for me to say it, but I'm in love with you. She's like, oh, I love that horse. Do you think we could potty train him on the inside? It's like, shut up, JoJo. She does not care.
But then they make out, and then JoJo spews some bullshit about like feeling a connection with Alex, and I just really feel like our relationship has changed. And oh, at that God. Moment, you're like, okay, he's gone.
Yeah, because that car ride, she should have just opened the door and pushed him out. Because that was like the biggest sign that, I mean, you finally get time to talk and you can't even do anything. Like, you even made the horse scene boring and he got fucked in the butt on TV. Like, you can't even make that good. And that's actually interesting, at least. So they go to this casita for their dinner. And basically
between that, I have a note about the fact that the other guys come to this, like, the polo club.
Yeah.
And James Taylor looks ridiculous. Did you see that? All the guys look dressed. Like, they're all wearing pants and, like, some kind of, like, a dress shirt. And James Taylor is like, it's laundry day.
Yes.
You see that he's wearing basketball shorts and, like, an old tank top.
Well, meanwhile, James Taylor is the one with weight issues. And he just, like, went on some crazy starvation diet to lose 50 pounds so he can come on the TV show. So he's just basically one kind of slow return to Fatsville. And look, I ain't making fun of it. I'm a fat person, and I go up and down like crazy. I get your struggle, James Taylor, future dad of somebody. But that guy is like just basically in elastic at this point. It's like he can't like stop eating.
Richard Simmons.
Yes.
He's got that like Richard Simmons, like he should be wearing like a sweatband around his hair. And doing Deal a Meal, right?
He's gained a good 15 in this time. I mean, all his jeans starting to look like Aaron Rodgers jeans, those little skinny jeans.
Meanwhile, you know, Orange Robbie looks like he's attending a broker's open house in Beverly Hills. He's like to be at the polo club. He's like just pressed his shirt a moment before. It was such a weird scene.
His little speed bump head. He's like, drive in this neighborhood like your children live here. Like, okay, Orange Robbie. Ba-dump. Ba-dump. So they arrive at this casita, and the old man, the old man extra, is in this scene too, but now he's playing a guitar. He's like, oy, 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 oy. It's like, no one is buying this same Danny DeVito we just saw. So he's playing the guitar, and they're trying to pretend that this is some romantic thing, but Alex really...
He's wearing a brown belt.
Oh, Lord. This poor non-blinking fucking fool. Robot. He's just sitting there. At this point, I'm obsessed with his blink. Even in the cutaways, he won't blink. Even in his testimonials. And then they show him in his testimonial, and he's sitting next to a giant, empty vase.
So in his testimonial, he's like... He's acting like he's in some kind of a competition, which he is. But he keeps going, you know what? I'm just glad I got this far. You know, it's a confirmation that I'm winning. I'm totally winning this thing. You know, like if there was a rose right now, if there was a rose up for grabs, first of all, I wish there was a rose because I would totally be getting it right now. And if I didn't get the rose, you know, well, I'd be taking that rose. If you know what I mean.
No
because
kidding.
Mixed messages. Mixed messages.
JoJo is so bored and she has to do, she's had to spend all day with this Midge and now she has to do a like romantic scene with him. So she just starts babbling like stupid Luke, which is why I think Luke has a chance because these two, can you imagine the dumb voicemails they would leave for each other? This is JoJo's stupid babbling. I tried to write down as much as I could.
Okay.
I just feel like we had so much fun today and like, you had so much fun, and you like felt so relaxed, and you've like struggled with doubts and like how this whole thing's working, and it was like so fun today, and like today, those doubts and fears were like so normal to have, but they're like gone today. They're like gone today.
Oh.
I was like, really? Just be quiet. Get a dick in your mouth. I don't care what goes in your mouth. A fork full of steak, a dick. I don't care what it is. Stop talking, lady.
Oh, classic.
Instead, it was a tongue. Alex is like, okay. Blah, 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 blah. So they start making out. And she's kind of trying to like make out. Just like the polite make out. We're like, well, he wants to and I don't want to hurt his feelings. It's like 80% of horrible situations begin like this.
Yep.
And then he gets really hard. Like, I don't know. I don't know if he gets hard. But like he starts making out really hard. He's like.
Yeah, very aggressively. Blah, blah, blah.
And she pulls back and he's just like diving. Ugh, gross.
I am so gross. So then we go back to the boys hanging out. And James Taylor, I notice, has this huge tattoo. That's so it looks like a page from one of those adult coloring books. You know?
On Wait, his who arm. Is it?
James Harris? Taylor. No, James Taylor.
James Taylor has a big tattoo?
He has a big tattoo on his shoulder, unless it's a temporary tattoo. But it looks like an entire page of a coloring book. It's so weird.
Those might have just been stretch marks. Because, you know, gaining and losing weight a lot, you'll get all kinds of designs that God gives you. He's like, hope you enjoyed losing that 50 pounds. Here's the outline of a rose right on your shoulder, made out of stretch marks. Like, God darn it, God!
So James Taylor does some foreshadowing for the end of the episode where he's just processing his feelings of PTSD from almost being sent home. You know what I'm talking about? He's just all like kind of sweaty and clammy. And he's just like, yeah, it's just like really weird. You know, I just don't understand. You know, I mean, I almost went home. I mean, I just don't know what JoJo's thinking right now.
I haven't had this much free food on my plate in a long time. I'm not leaving this. And JoJo, there's a service table with Fritos on it all day long. You know, they give us muffins in the morning. We don't even have to ask. We wake up. There's a little plate of eggs, muffins. I asked for Dr. Pepper. I got a 2-liter. I'm not leaving this room. I mean, JoJo. Then it cuts back to the date where Midget has just tried to kiss way too hard and she's totally pulled back and he takes it as a positive. He's like, wow, I can't wait for this. Like, I'm totally getting this hometown date. I can't wait for my mom to have proof that I'm not gay just because I let the across the street neighbor stick the backyard hose up my butt on a couple of sleepovers.
A couple of sleepovers.
It's called cleanliness, Mom! So I think the midget is losing hair during this. I said that a lot, but I think a lot of these guys are using spray-on hair. But here in Argentina, I don't know if they took all their hair gel at customs. I don't know what happened, but...
I was noticing that. It does look a little sparse on the hairline.
Why do you think that is? These guys are young. There's so much baldness.
I don't know.
Is it the... is that a roids thing, like where you lose hair?
Oh, could be. He's Chad's roid rage friend. But this was more proof of that weird frat boy rapey thing, because he is not in touch at all with what she's feeling. He tells her he's in love with her. She looks horrified, mm-hmm. like he just told her he has a hooker in his basement, and he doesn't notice at all. He's like, I feel amazing right now.
Yeah.
And I'm falling in love with you. I know I'm falling in love with you. The first second I saw you, I thought, this is so hard and easy. It's like hard and easy and hard. Like,
yeah. But then I'd be disappointed and confused. But then I'd be like, I feel amazing. Like, I'm in love with this woman.
It would be amazing if you felt the way I felt right now.
That was so sad. And she's just looking at him all confused. Like,
smile, or there's nothing on her face.
I know, but on the other hand,
nothing, the more he keeps going, like, this is great. This is the happiest day of my entire life. This is as good as it's going to get ever.
On the other hand, she was just making out with him.
True.
Cuddling with the horse, holding his hand, walking into this romantic dinner, talking about how much fun she had, how much he's opened up, and then making out some more. So, I mean, I don't know. Mixed signals.
True. I mean, listen, if she tries to, you know, take him to court for date rape, it's not going to look great for her.
It's not going to be an easy one.
It's still, no.
Definitely not. So,
you're so open and expressive, and it's just like, I just love the way that you can just talk so desperately, like you need something so badly, but I'm not sure what it is, and you never blink. Can you see clearly? Do your eyes hurt? Do you need eye drops? Tell me how you feel.
So she then goes into the breakup thing where she's like, bye.
Right now, when you told me, like, it's so easy and hard and hard and easy and hard, and, like, you're falling in love with me, I should feel like a firecracker being lit and let out into the sky and exploding all over, where people are like, whoa, is that choreographed? Or is it fire? What is it? Is it real? Is it a dream? I don't feel like a firework. I just feel like a girl on a bench. Is that the same guy who was teaching us the horses? What song is that? Can someone ask him what song he's playing out there? What were you talking about, Aaron? Like, that's not my name!
Oh my God.
Is that booster seat uncomfortable?
That he's just looking at her. He doesn't know what is going on because she's not getting to the point. I wanted to be feeling something, and it's just weird that I'm not feeling anything. And so I know that there's not supposed to be a rose, and I don't know.
And then he just cuts her off. Like, he's like, whatever. Either. He just kind of cuts her off at one point. She's like, I don't think my heart doesn't feel like a firework. It feels just like a piece of chicken when you put it in a Ziploc and then forgotten it in the bottom of the crisper where you put the vegetables, and you're like, oh my God, there's chicken there, but you don't even care because you already had lunch, and then you just throw it away. And he's like, fine, fuck you. He gets all pissed off, and he gets up and he tries to argue with her, which is the most embarrassing thing.
First, I don't even think he understands that he's getting kicked off, because I think he's like, I'm confused. I mean, you're saying you're not like feeling anything for me or whatever, but I guess you will. You know, give it a week. And she's like, yeah, well, so I just thought I would feel more. And it's really disappointing to me that I'm just like not. So she keeps waiting for him to understand he's getting kicked off. And then she finally has to go, I just want to save, like, I just want to tell you now what I don't want to make you wait a week. And he's like, well, what?
I don't want you to, like, have to spend a week in gorgeous Argentina eating free food and hanging out with the guys and sightseeing. Like, I'd rather you get on a Southwest flight right now and get the fuck out of my face. You get that? And he's like, what? But, like, it just sucks. Like, that sucks. Like, totally sucks. Like, you can't even see that, like, I'm something you want.
Like, no. You need to go now, sir.
Yeah. And then he's like, this is crazy. This is horrible. Like, why is this happening? And Elby says, God, they make this show so dramatic.
I know. Well, this guy was really pissed. He's like, oh, so I get what you're trying to tell me. You don't have a hose in your backyard. You know what? It's totally fine. I can install one. We can use the neighbor's hose. We can hook a hose up to the sink. She's like, no, it's not about the hose. Get out. And she's trying to follow him out and make it about her, even though she just dumped him. She's like,
my stomach hurts. I'm laughing too hard at that.
She's grabbing his arm and like,
oh, but I didn't want it to go like this. Now I wanted it to go. It's like, yeah, whatever. Hey, old man.
This is about the hose. It's always about the hose. Every time I meet somebody, it ends up being about the hose. I don't know why that is. Why are these women so obsessed with the hose? I'm fine. I don't need a hose.
I'm out of here. But if you guys need someone to water these rose beds before I go, I volunteer. He's like, get out. Get out, sir. Get into car. And then suddenly the old man from the horse place and now the guy who was just serenading them outside is now in the truck. He's like, welcome to my truck. I'm a trench. Look, what are you, French now? What kind of characters is this guy going to play?
So you know what's so great, too, is that Alex was such a minor character on the show that he's just basically never heard from again. There's no dramatic music and his suitcase is removed. Nothing. It's never talked about.
JoJo. Suddenly, I don't know how I did this. I'm trying to think back. Like, how could I have done it different? Could I maybe have made out with him more? Should I have given him a hand job before I broke up with... No! Stop leading people on.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that they do that little scene where she sits on a bench to contemplate.
And then behind her, what's behind her? A big empty pitcher, but this one is in one of those wash tubs because I guess I don't have showers in this casita.
Oh, yes.
I'm like, this is a sign in every scene.
The empty vessel.
Like, who's going to lose? The empty vessel.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go on to the next date before this is a 20-hour podcast. We're already on minute 50.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So then we go right. We don't miss a beat. There's no aftermath to Alex getting kicked off. Suddenly, we're on a date with Heron Rogers.
Yep. And this is like the easiest date ever. He looks stoned off his ass. I don't know if they found some good weed over there in Argentina, but it's the first time I've seen him without hair product.
Which is not good because he has to keep pushing his hair back like it's a hair flap.
It doesn't make sense.
He's flapping down.
It doesn't make any sense. And then his eyes are half closed. I think he's stoned. And she seems kind of stoned, too, although they were getting shit-faced this whole day. And she obviously wants to marry this guy. So he's like, yeah, you know that they use that word entitlement, and that's just not cool with me. Like, he's all hung up on this one word, entitlement, okay? So he's like, that's really difficult for me, and I'm not going to have it. And I'm going to prove to JoJo that I'm not entitled in this stretch limousine on a private plane.
Yep. So then all the guys talk about, while they're on their date, all the guys talk about Heron. They're trying to make him the new villain. He's there for the wrong reasons. And JoJo, I hope JoJo doesn't want a guy that like fights with everyone in the house, which we've never seen. I don't know what they're talking about.
Except when James was like, one time he cheated at cards.
Oh, yeah.
And then he gave me, you know, he's so entitled to a double ace. You better talk to him. Wussy.
But Heron didn't even fight with James at that time. He just treated him like he was a little like a flea that he needed to get rid of. It's not like he wasn't Chad.
Yeah,
trying to act like he's the new Chad.
Yes, and it's not really working. They can't even get behind it because it's mostly just James Taylor like, how can I get someone disqualified because she doesn't think I'm attractive?
Disqualified.
That's kind of what they do on this show.
I know.
It's like him and the midget. They're like, you know, the midget was a big Chad the chattletale. He's like, Chad's mean. Chad's so mean. And it worked, but, you know, it didn't work out for him in the long run. So suck it, pussies.
So then they're back with the date card comes, and Luke gets the date card. And Robbie's pissed because he's sure he's the front runner.
Robbie.
So that just happens in between. And I say that because then we come back to dinner with Heron and JoJo. And now I cannot take my eyes off of Heron's hair. It's like it's like a vast mountain range, like with ski slopes and a chateau. You'd need snow tires to get to the top, is all I'm saying. It's crazy. It was so much was going on with that brown hair. It was piles of it everywhere.
Yeah, I just can't stop seeing Woody from Toy Story. Like, he just looks just like that to me. He looks like a claymation guy. So seeing this guy being the douche that's, like, entitled. Sorry, you can say you don't like that word 20 times, but you've obviously heard it your whole life because you act entitled.
But I did think it was interesting that Heron was telling her about who she would meet on the hometown dates. And I have to admit that it was kind of refreshing that he was admitting that he doesn't have a relationship with his brother. Because first he's talking about it, and then he's like, actually, he's like, well, you're not going to meet my brother. And then she, all she wants to talk about, by the way, is his brother.
I know.
Which is annoying.
I know.
And, he goes, we don't speak. And I kind of like the fact that he said, look, I get that he probably has a lot of pressure, and I wouldn't want that kind of pressure. And, you know, he kind of admits like that he doesn't have that much going on himself.
Well, it's interesting how he says it, because he's like, well, you know, when you come meet my family, like, it's different because, like, Aaron, no one has a relationship with Aaron because he's, like, famous. And I get it. And, like, good for him. Like, that's great. But, you know, like, I'm not jealous at all. It's just that I've never been able to do anything because it's always about Aaron, Aaron, Aaron. I haven't been able to be in football because it's all about Aaron.
Marsha.
Yeah, he's totally putting himself into a Marsha corner.
He's such a Jan. And we should call him Jan.
Yeah, he's painting himself into a Jan corner, and that's not attractive.
No.
But he's like, yeah, I totally don't mind, but like, don't worry, my mom's nice, you know, we have a brother who's uglier than both of us, God bless him, he's probably still living in the basement, and then, you know, like, everybody's cool, and it's like, Aaron, like, he's an asshole, we don't have to put up with him, but we still get to live off of his fame, which is great.
Yeah, which, and JoJo, yeah, is all about. She just, yeah, keeps, she puts her hands, she puts her, like, chin on her hands, and she's like, tell me about Aaron.
Do you still get good tables at the macaroni grill or the macaroni factory, whatever the hell it's called?
We're still going to go to the Super Bowl, though, right? I mean, that's not – I mean, I could talk to him. I know you don't have a relationship with him, but, like, if we're, like, engaged, like, I'll have a relationship with him, right? I mean, you're not going to make me not speak to him.
Like, yeah, what happened? I want to work this out with you. How about you just call him right now? Let's call him right now. Let's call him right now, yeah, and talk about this, how you're not entitled.
Yeah. I was wondering, like, if Heron was actually on a football team, maybe he wouldn't feel that way.
and maybe he wouldn't feel that way. Like, just to get serious, guys, I get that he would feel annoyed. Like, here, his brother's gorge, successful. Look, what a smile. Let's make out. Like, he's so cute.
Yeah.
And I get he's trying to follow in his brother's footsteps, but he's just not talented in that way, and it's right, not working out. And then he kind of is a burnout, and he's sick of everybody making fun of him. So then he drops out, and, you know, he keeps using that word entitlement because he's heard it a lot. And frankly, he does act entitled, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't think it's in a way that he means to do necessarily, because that's got to be hard on your spirit. But at the same time, you feel entitled to have a football career because you have a famous brother, and you felt entitled like 4 times on the bench, you know, because you think that you deserve it because of him. And I get that he's the younger brother and he's just kind of looking up to his brother. But, you know, if he went off and did something else and was like, but I realized that that's my brother's thing, and now I'm a banker, or now I'm really good at, I don't know, tap dancing or something. But he's not really making his own effort. He's still living off of Aaron's fame,
yep,
you know, by coming on TV and living off of it and getting as much pussy as he can for the next few years off of that fame.
I 100% agree with you. And, you know, they throw around the whole not there for the right reasons and that they just want to be famous. But in this case, it's definitely true.
Yes. And
Aaron is there to get famous because he feels like he wants to be in that club of the guys that are like a reality star.
Yeah, and the way to get famous with having no talent, as everybody knows, is be on a reality show. It's like the, yeah, it's like the shortcut of our times. And, you know, I guess, yeah, in a way, good for him.
And they do actually discuss it, the kind of behind the scenes thing of that he came in as the front runner because his brother's like the NFL star.
That's so true, but, you know, when
they
Chad
all kind of know that she is going to be into him because she's surface and, yeah, like, wants that lifestyle.
Yes, because while those two are actually having a good time, because they don't seem to have a lot to talk about either, but they are getting wasted together and having fun in the hot tub. And whatever reason she's into him, she is, and it's obvious. The guys are bitching back at the hotel, and Chase is like, yeah, well, I saw some red flag. He's so stupid. Chase with his half-closed Garfield eyes. So dumb. And he's like, yeah, well, I guess we could see these red flags in the beginning because, you know, oh, no, he was saying, I saw red flags, like, everybody doesn't like him, and he's starting fights with everybody, and now they're,
starting this thing, and Chase tells us, I think she's looking for a real guy from a real town with a real job. I'm like, no, honey, that's why she's been on two versions of The Bachelor. That's not what she's looking for.
Exactly.
But they don't understand when Chase is saying, like, it's obvious that she's just going to go with a guy with a career because, I mean, you know, seats to the Super Bowl. You're basically calling her a stupid user slut. So what are you even doing here?
Exactly.
That's not cool. Like, fuck off, dude.
Yeah,
even though it's true.
Yeah, we need to put our foot down.
Yeah,
Ronnie.
That's not true. That's not cool. You're not respecting JoJo. JoJo doesn't need you to make her feel more vulnerable, okay? Yeah. She feels vulnerable enough. Chase.
So now, okay, we go to the, so they're all in love. Heron and JoJo making out. He says, I love you. She's like, this is the happiest day of my entire life. Blah, 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 blah. Now we're at the, back in the hotel suite. Apparently they got rained out. Their date got rained out. I don't know. My mind was wandering.
Yeah, their date got rained out. And Heron's like, whoop, my dick feels good. I'll be sleeping all day. Hope you guys have fun on your date, losers. And they're like, ooh, that guy. And so she's like, guys, I wanted to go outside and do activities. That old man is all ready to sing Don't Cry for Me, Argentina. Unfortunately, we're not going to do that. So we're going to hang out in the hotel room and watch movies and play games. Oh, God, these poor guys. So they all just basically hang out and eat junk food and stuff. And she's like, I love truth or dare. So she makes the fat guy. This is so mean of her, by the way. She makes fat guy. She's like, I dare you to eat as many French fries as you can. And he's basically stuffing his face with French fries, getting a boner at the same time. It's like it ends with a fart. I mean, this poor guy just can't win. And everybody's,
this scene was like the unraveling of JT.
It really was. It was like, ha ha, he's binging. He like thinks he's being hilarious. And she's like, ha 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 ha.
But he's so weird in the scene after that when he's like, I'm gonna take down one of the other guys.
Yes,
like,
because
all
her
of
dare
a sudden
to
he's, strategizing and like, you know.
Well, if you want to see how shallow JoJo is, just look at this scene. She makes the fat guy. She knows this poor guy. It's like the homeliest guy on the show. She knows he just lost 50 pounds. She's like, eat, eat. And then the next guy, Orange Robbie, she's like, okay, you're hot. Take off all your clothes and run through the hallway.
You know,
it's like all she cares about is the most shallow things. It's like, let's point out how fat the fat guy is and how hot the orange guy is.
I know. And then, oh, God. Then, so was this during the same part where then JT accuses Robbie of, you know, checking out other women?
Yeah, so then they're watching TV, and he decides he's going to bring down Robbie because he's just fattened up, and Robbie is just showing off his hot body. So now he just hates Robbie for no reason.
Right, his underwear. Right. Yeah,
like, Robbie's obviously gay. He's got speed bump hair. No one's thinking that he's going to win. So he starts saying that Robbie's this player, and that every time he looks around, they call him, like, what do they call him? Like, M-E-R or something?
W-R. W-E. Wandering Eye.
Yeah, were.
W-E. Yeah, Wandering
Eye Robbie. And so Robbie starts getting pissed.
And he's like, oh my God, you're lying. He's lying.
I do not look at girls.
I do not. I like gauchos, not gauchettes. That is so wrong.
Listen, getting a blowjob from Danny DeVito playing a driver doesn't mean that I'm a wandering eye, okay? It means I'm a frat boy who likes to get his dick sucked. You know, that guy didn't have any teeth.
It's so weird, though. I don't. When you're watching this, aren't you like, how do you not think that Robbie's gay?
And JT, James Taylor, he's trying to make Robbie look bad, but he's basically insisting that Robbie is straight, which I think is the sweetest thing he could have done. It's like, even in trying to bring someone else down, he's making him look better, you know?
Yeah.
You should have said Robbie comes in with a weird film on the corner of his mouth every time he's been left alone to walk around the block. Something, you know?
Yeah. So then JoJo starts having a little one-on-one time with each of the guys, and she goes with Robbie. And I'm just reading off my notes here because I don't even remember this part. But Robbie tells JoJo a story about he brought another girl home. Oh, yeah. And his dad didn't like her.
Oh, yeah. This was really weird. So he starts, because we're going to hear all this shit about Robbie coming up. So he goes into full-on lie mode. You know he's lying. He's got that head tilt, that he does, and he starts like kind of talking really fast like he does. He just gets way too Rico Suave. And he starts, he's like, well, my dad didn't really like my last girlfriend because her name was Paul, you know, and he had a beard. But like my dad got really upset. And then I started noticing that things were different. Like, you know, like we never used condoms. I didn't get pregnant. Like just all this weird stuff started happening. And like, I don't want to talk about this, but you're my priority right now. And like my priority is my love for you. And that's why I'm willing to go down this path for you. Like, you're such a slime ball. Okay?
Oh my God. And then she's like, well, what? And he goes, she's like, but why? But you were with her for 3 years.
Yeah.
You were with him for 3 years. He's like, her.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, what was wrong? And he goes, well, I mean, there were a lot of red flags. Well, like what? And he goes, well, like, I've never went to her house one time, and I only met her mom once.
Yeah. And well, she knew I was a family man. Like, what?
What? Meanwhile, he's gay. So how about that being a red flag?
I know he's not a family man, because if he was so close with his mom, you know, they all say, like, we're so close with our moms, to make the girl get all squee. But I know that ain't true, because a really good mother would never let her son walk out of the house with hair like that. Never.
I agree.
Never. Agreed.
So this is ridiculous. So then Chase has a little one-on-one time with JoJo, and I fell asleep or fell into a coma. I don't know, but that guy is so boring.
She scratched her nose while she was, like, just reading body language. She was scratching her nose like, uh-huh. And drinking a gigantic glass of wine. I mean, it was huge. It was like a whole box of Franzia. She's like, uh-huh. And he goes, well, you know, you're investigating other relationships. I'm like, you're an idiot. And at this point, that's actually a perfect word, because now she is going to be investigating. Because now she's finding out that choosing the hot douchebags, which we called in the beginning, she's choosing all of the hottest guys who are all douchebags.
Yep.
And now she's going to find out they're all pigs. So, bye. Yes. Bye, Chase. Good luck being a Garfield clock.
Yeah. Now, this gets good, because JT is now hammered. And he's like, I'm having my one-on-one time, which I really want to use to take down the other guys. I mean, you might have a more physical relationship with the other guys, but we're so connected.
Huh? That was so embarrassing. He's like, I'd like to talk about something else. Now, I noticed we have a good relationship, but you don't want to fuck me. Just be honest. Yeah. You don't even want to know what my penis looks like after seeing my stretch mark rose tattoo. Just be honest. Then JoJo's like, but here's the truth. I do. I just love our connection. I know that you would be an amazing babysitter. I know you wouldn't cheat on me except with food, which I get. I mean, we're in a place where we like each other and don't want to fuck. I mean, you're wearing a dad sweater right now.
So I can see a life with you. You're perfect.
I can see. You probably know how to do algebra. My children aren't going to know how to do it. You can help them with it. You can do their homework. How do you feel about carpools? Do you like driving carpools?
She does give mixed messages.
She's basically just like, do you want to do everything in a household? And I'll just smile with you and laugh. And then, you know, fuck Aaron Rodgers in the meantime.
Right. Do you want she wants James Taylor to be like the brother husband.
Yes.
Like Aaron Rodgers will be her husband and James Taylor can live with them and do all the household duties.
And he would do it. Yeah. He would be like, we need to have a house meeting. Aaron Rodgers did not take the gum out of his pockets. You know how hard it is to do laundry like that? Ruined my entire afternoon. She'll be like, okay, honey, I'm going to go bone this guy in the barn out back. Okay. And one thing he said that was really funny, when he's like, I can't wait to take her back to Katy, like Katy, Texas.
Right.
It's like
right.
The first time I'll be able to go to that Cracker Barrel with a woman, Katy, Texas, and say, Mom, look, I'm inside a woman besides Katy, and her name is JoJo. It's like, this is not going to happen.
Oh my God. So James says, I'm very deep in the process of falling for you.
Like it's a house loan.
Yeah.
So then he starts doing this weird thing when he's around the other guys. All the guys are kind of sitting there talking it out while Luke is off. I think Luke is off having his private time or whatever.
Yeah.
And the guys start talking about it, and James is like, well, one of us is going home, guys. I mean, let's just face it. It's me, Chase, or the orange one are going home. And the orange guy's like, if you don't think you're a front runner, like, why are you even here? And then the James Taylor's like, well, I wasn't the front runner of the church bake sale, but I went home with an apple pie. And they're like, yeah. That is not a cake.
He turns it like, into the movie Rudy. Yeah. He's like, just because everybody thinks I can't win, I don't give up.
I'm like that little train that can. I just keep saying, I think I can, I think I can. And when I can't, I just say, you know what? I'll be a car now. Oh, no. Poor thing. Loser.
So then JT says, I just felt so good on the date with this lady. I just came in my pants a little. What? Gross.
Or leaked some fat out because I did take an ally beforehand. And then those fries did a major trick on me. You know what that is, ally? That's that pill that like a bunch of people take that separates the fat from your food.
Oh, yeah.
You just poop out pure fat.
Yeah.
Ugh, yeah. Gross. Sorry. Sorry for an ally joke, but.
Rose time.
Had to. Rose time.
So Robbie gets the rose.
Yes.
And JT starts stumbling around the room. And then I realized that this is like a Lifetime movie. And JT is like coming out of nowhere to be the scary one. Right? Like just when you think it's Chad, just when you think JoJo's going to die at the hands of Chad or Alex, you're like, oh my God, it was James Taylor all along. The one that was pretending to be nice.
Yes, but it'll be one of those creepy ones where he doesn't actually kill the woman. He'll just like take off an arm. And then take off the other arm. And then take off a leg. He'll be like boxing Helena.
Boxing Helena!
Yeah. Boxing JoJo.
Yep. Boxing JoJo.
She'll be like, this box makes me feel vulnerable. Yeah, he's creepy. He's acting drunk. He spills his drink. Like, he's so upset he drops his drink. And JoJo's like, I'll get it. It's like, you are just more pathetic than ever. And then he's like crying with, they're like, he and Chad are crying, which is hilarious. So they have to walk down the hallway past the ice machine crying like idiots.
Yeah.
And James is like shocked. He's like shell shocked. He looks like he's been rained on. His hair is all wet. And he's like, she basically said she didn't want to see me do the fry trick, but with mac and cheese or fried okra.
He's like, I just get so, when I think about JoJo and Robbie being together, I just get so angry. I get that feeling like I want to stab her in her heart just to show her how much I love her and that I'm right for her. You know, I just want to like stab her, just slide a knife in there, you know, and then just like pull off her appendages one by one just to show her that I should have had a one-on-one date. She's a whore.
What a whore. And while she's dying, just sitting there suffocating, I'll eat a whole box of Little Debbie's and just say, suck it, JoJo. Suck it, JoJo.
They have good creamy center, and I'm just going to put my tongue in that creamy center and just and just get everything out of the middle of it. Oh, Little Debbie.
Then we cut to the one-on-one date where they're out on a farm and horses are necking. And I'm like, oh, my God, can we please stop horse raping for one minute in this episode?
Yep.
Then Luke starts his one-on-one date, which basically we can get through in 2 seconds because all he does, he's like, JoJo, it starts with JoJo going, Luke has a way of explaining his feelings. And Luke's like, yeah, well, then you make a right, and then, like, you take a horse. And then, like, oh, that horse, he sneezed because he had a bug in his nose. Oh, look, there's that old man. Look, he's skeet shooting. Oh my God, this old man they're using in every little thing.
Yep.
Well, okay, now we're skeet shooting. This is when things fly up and you shoot them. Wow, when you meet my friends and family, it's going to be easy for you to see past my blatant hair plugs and old man dentures because, like, my mom, she knows how to get a fly out of a horse's nose. She's like, wow, that's so romantic.
Oh, and then it's so obvious that she's not going to end up with him. That's how the date is super quick. It's over in a minute. She tries to shoot a gun, blah, blah, blah.
But she's going to, you know, he's like the safety card. I think he and Robbie are like the safety cards where she's like, well, I still can get dick at the after party. Like, yes. I'm going to make sure that I can get dick at the after party.
Yes.
So the rose ceremony has been moved until today. There's no cocktail ceremony. And everyone's like, whoa. And James is like, whoa, I was going to do this thing with those little tiny hot dogs.
Now I never have a chance to win her love.
Oh, so, yeah.
And of course, it's going to be the ugliest guy who goes, because it always is with this one. She ends up keeping all the guys. Private talk with James. Wait. Oh, yeah. So James, of course, gets...
Wait, I have to say one thing before that. When the guys walk in, Chase says, he's like, I can't believe there's not going to be a rose ceremony. I mean, I wanted to talk to JoJo because there's so much I need to touch base on. What? Isn't that what you say to like a coworker when you haven't seen him since lunch? There's so much I need to touch base on. What does that mean?
I got some paper clips for you. They are at the first desk drawer. Would you like me to Xerox something for you? Ugh, Garfield, shut up.
Oh.
So this James basically gets kicked off. No one is surprised. He still looks like he just got out of a rainstorm. The poor guy is like soaking wet. He's terrified. He's sobbing, of course.
Yeah.
No one's surprised by that. And then she's like, can I walk you out? So they both start sobbing. And he's like, And she's like, well, you can still do carpool. Here's a Band-Aid for that eye. I never healed, did it?
Yeah.
You're starting to bleed again. Oh, you touched my heart, but you will never touch my vagina. Have a safe trip home.
He takes it a little better than I thought he would until he gives her this hug. You know, the hug where he's holding her. He's got his arm around her head so tight that I started to worry that he's just going to make a quick pivot and break her neck.
He's like, killing smell this degree. Smell this degree. Smell at my armpit. Smell at my armpit. That is degree that you're giving up there, young lady.
If he broke her neck, that would truly be the most dramatic rose ceremony.
Her personality would probably not change at all.
No.
And then when he starts sobbing, now she's sobbing because she feels so bad. So they're both crying like girls out there. And he goes, well, everyone in Katie says, I'm a nice guy and I deserve a nice girl. And I'm like, yeah, a nice girl, not a hot one. Nobody in Katy, Texas has told you, James, you deserve a supermodel from a TV show. Okay? You need a Weight Watchers counselor who can barely hide her hatred for you. Okay? Like every other man in Katy, Texas.
How did he get on the show?
I don't know.
He's so such the odd man out.
I don't know, but
with all the wax figurines.
I almost feel bad for him because he seems like he could be such a good dad and such a good husband, and he seems like such a good guy, but
yeah, but not for her.
Why do all these guys, it's like they're like, I'm a good guy, I deserve a supermodel and a TV show. No, you don't. You deserve 5 children and a 30-year loan like everybody else has.
Yes.
What the hell did you do? Get a job. I never wanted to hurt you. And then the end sex tag is her getting a head massage and being like, oh, yeah, do it. Do it right there. Right there.
And the scenes from next week are basically her being obsessed with Aaron Rodgers.
And then finding out Robbie lies. And she's like, my heart is broken.
Oh, about his ex-girlfriend.
Well, that's what you get. That DJ would have been nice to you. He would have cried to you every day.
I know. What about Wells?
What about Wells? Am I right? Next week looks so good because we get to meet the third homeliest brother of the Rogers family. And he's like, JoJo! They're like, put him back in the basement. Someone put that doggy door back up. He got out of the kitchen again.
Oh, it's going to be good.
One day we will learn to get this in under an hour. One day. But in the meantime, damn it, that's fun.
Yes.
You guys, thank you so much for listening. You can find us, you can find our Twitter and Instagram at Smother Podcast. Leave us reviews and nice stars
That's Smother Podcast.
Oh, that's Big Brother Smother. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Talk TV.
Yeah, we're at Trash Talk TV. You can find our Twitter and Instagram at Rose Pricks Pod. Sorry about that.
Yes, also, and our Facebook. Go to our Facebook because I've been loving the messages. People are keeping us up to date on the gossip.
Yes, you guys, we don't talk about that gossip all that much, but we are going to start kind of a little spinoff show just to talk about all the gossip of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, which would be great. And you guys are basically giving us all that material, so go to facebook.com/RosePricksPod. And thank you for the reviews you guys have been leaving us on iTunes. Those help us so much. We've been on the charts since we started. Thank you, guys.
Amazing. Thank you.
Love doing this. Love you, Stephanie. Find Stephanie.
Love you, Ronnie.
At Stephanie F. What is your Twitter? I'm really done today.
S. Wilder Taylor.
S. Wilder Taylor on Twitter. And I'm at Ronnie Karam. And you can just come to Trash Talk TV to find all of our newest episodes. We love you guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye, everybody.